in the desert, having to depend on God, walking behind that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire. They didn't even know which direction to go in. God had to show them that kind of really close dependency that they developed with the Lord was very special at that time. So special that when they became desperately hungry, what did the Lord do? He sent manna upon them and said, "Don't worry about food. I will provide for your need." Right? So going from that state of, yeah, it's hard to be utterly dependent on God, but it's reliable. You know what to do. But then Israel makes it through that 40 years. They enter into the promised land, and suddenly things change. The manna stops. And they turn to the fields around them, produce that has grown, probably because of other people's labor. They turn to the produce that's grown, and they get the word from the Lord. Eat of the produce of the land. Now you have been delivered into this promised land. You will be responsible for your own food. You will be responsible to make sure that the people among you don't go hungry. And we're used to that, right? We're used to working hard. We've been trained since we were little bits like that to get up every morning and do the work that's set before us, first by our parents and then by our school and then by our employer. And we know that while it's not always true, if you work hard, you get ahead. We also know you can't get ahead, certainly, if you don't work hard. So we become self-reliant. And for me, that's where the challenge is. Sometimes I miss God's presence. Sometimes I miss God's miracles. Sometimes I miss the mercy of God because I'm being so self-reliant. Do you relate? Sometimes it's hard to know when to turn that self-reliance off. And I'm not sure that it's even good for us to do that. But what I think is true is that if we train ourselves, we were talking earlier about self-discipline, if we train ourselves to look out for God's miracles, we will not miss them amongst our hard work. And really, that was one of the problems that the older brother in Jesus' parable about the prodigal son or the forgiving father, that was the problem with the older brother, right? He was so used to not only doing his work, but also whose else's work? His younger brother's work. So can you imagine? Not only does he need to do everything he was responsible for, and you know as the elder son, he had more load on him in the first place. But then the reprobate goes and runs away, squanders half of his eventual inheritance, because under that law at that time, the elder son would have inherited everything, right? So the younger son runs away from all of his responsibilities, leaves all of his tasks to the older brother, and the older brother is going to be worse off in the end and have less wealth because of this younger son walking away, running away from all of his responsibilities. So I have a certain sympathy for the older son. I'm an only child, so I always had to do it all. But I have a lot of sympathy for that older child in the sense that maybe by the time his younger brother arrived back, he was so worn down by the responsibility of it all. Maybe, as some of us have lived through this with elder parents, maybe his father isn't quite as competent as his father thinks he is. And so maybe the elder son has even had to take on some of the responsibilities of the father. And maybe he's just overworked worn down and tired by the time the younger son gets back on the scene. That helps me understand why the older son misses the grace. The grace of that father who sees the younger son afar off. And what does Scripture tell us about the father? He runs to him. And at the time, of course, that he was in some kind of gown, long robe. And have you heard it said that he would have had to yank up, maybe even gird up his robes, to run across the field in whatever way he could to greet the younger son. And he didn't even wait to hear what that son had as an excuse, did he? He forgave that son before he had stopped running toward him. Such is the miracle, right? You may have had a grievance in your life where someone hurt you, whether they meant to or they didn't. It almost doesn't matter. The wounds can be the same. You've been hurt, and you kind of get used to the shape of that grief. You get used to the shape of that hurt. It's something that you know. Cold comfort, perhaps, but what you're used to. And it takes a work of effort to set that grief and that hurt and that pain aside, doesn't it? It takes a real work to do that. But we don't hear anything in Jesus' parable about how hard it was for the father to forgive his son, do we? All we see is this father running toward his younger son, who was lost but now is found. What a miracle of the heart. What a miracle God did in the heart of that father to be able to completely forgive his son in that moment and run toward him. The father didn't think, oh yeah, here comes that lousy reprobate of a son. What a loser. Here he comes again. And guess what? I bet he's going to be here 3 weeks and then haul off with another bunch of goods and leave me again holding the whole estate to manage. He didn't say that. Would he have been justified in doing so? He might have been a little realistic, right? So I think it's a work of grace. It's a miracle that the father was able to forgive and let go in that moment. What we don't know, because the story is unfinished, is how the older son reacted after his father said, yes, but your brother, not just my son, but your brother was dead, but he's now alive. We don't know if the older brother was able to be converted in his heart, to feel the mercy of God for not just his brother, but for himself and his hard-heartedness. We don't know if the older brother was able to allow the miracle of God's presence to enable him to become compassionate toward his younger son. But I like to think, because the story is left unfinished by Jesus, that we get to finish that story. So I wonder if there is something about your life where you've been working very hard. You might even be kind of overworked. You might be a little exhausted. Tired of a situation, worn out, thought through every possibility, tried everything you can. You've been working hard. You've been self-sufficient. Can you think of something? I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud. Just take a moment and reflect. Where have I been working very hard to be self-sufficient and feel a little overworked as a result. Got something? Maybe it'll come to you later. Because this is the task before us. In the midst of our working very hard to look for the miracle that God is ready to do. To be able to turn our self-sufficiency down a few notches, maybe not off, but turn it down a few notches and look for where God's mercy will act to change things. Maybe it's just a change of view. Maybe the events of our lives don't change, but it's just a slight attitudinal shift. God is faithful. Even though the Israelites no longer had manna rain down on them every day, God gave them the goodness of the garden again. God will provide you goodness in your garden. So let's work together to look out for the miracles that God will do in our work. Amen. Let's stand and profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe